This is a Kim Munson Liberty and Economy briefing. Siemens gave $101,000 to the 2004 Fast Tracks campaign, state records show. Contribution records filed with the Colorado Secretary of State list, three payments from Siemens Transportation Systems to the Fast Tracks Yes Issue Committee between June and October 2004. The Front Range Passenger Rail District decides in late August 2026 whether to ask voters for a new sales tax. Siemens Transportation Systems gave $101,000 to the issue committee that campaigned for Denver's 2004 Fast Tracks Transit expansion, according to contribution records filed with the Colorado Secretary of State, and the money came in three payments between June and October of that year, all of them before Election Day. Those filings are worth reading now because the Front Range Passenger Rail District decides in late August 2026 whether to ask voters inside its boundaries for a 1/3 cent sales tax to pay for passenger service between Fort Collins and Pueblo. Siemens builds light rail cars, and the transit agency that put Fast Tracks on the ballot, the Regional Transportation District, RTD, placed a $184 million order with the company in February 2008 for 55 of them. Who funds a transit campaign, and what happens after the vote, came up on the Kim Munson Show on August 7th when Randall O'Toole, director of the Transportation Policy Center at the Independence Institute in Denver, told listeners that the donor list on the new measure will be worth watching once a campaign committee forms. The Pro Fast Tracks campaign registered with the state as Fast Tracks Yes, an issue committee carrying Colorado Committee ID 2004-5636-584. Bulk contribution data published through Tracer, the Colorado Secretary of State's campaign finance system, records three gifts to that committee from Siemens Transportation Systems of Orlando, Florida, $50,000 on June 25, 2004, $4,500 on October 4th, and $46,500 on October 18th. All three arrived before the November 2nd election. All three are recorded as itemized monetary contributions from a business, and none is flagged as amended. Fast Tracks. Yes reported about $3.9 million in itemized contributions, roughly $3.5 million of which reached the committee on or before Election Day. The $101,000 from Siemens was among the five largest sums any single contributor gave the committee. The two largest contributors were the Metro Denver Economic Development Corporation and the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce, at $250,000 each in cash. The Colorado Association of Realtors gave $105,000, and First Data Corporation gave $100,000 before the election and another $30,000 the following February. Engineering and construction firms positioned to design and build the system make up the largest single block of the rest of the list, among them CH2M Hill at $69,043, about $4,000 of it in donated goods and services, Hansel Phelps Construction at $60,000, and Kiewit Western at $55,000 before the election. Union Pacific Railroad, whose tracks the proposed Front Range service would run on, gave $50,000. RTD placed the order on February 5, 2008, for 55 SD-160 high-floor light rail vehicles to carry the service expansion Fast Tracks promised, with delivery scheduled from 2009 through 2011. Progressive Railroading reported the award the same day the contract was placed and described it as Siemens' largest-ever light rail vehicle contract. Railway Gazette International reported the same value and date when the first car arrived, 18 months later, at RTD's light rail maintenance facility on August 21, 2009, shipped from Siemens's plant in Sacramento. The $184 million contract for 55 high-floor cars was placed on February 5, 2008, following previous orders for 95 LRVs, the Trade Journal wrote. The cars were destined for the West Corridor, the Interstate 225 Corridor, and the Southeast and Southwest line extensions. The supply relationship predates Fast Tracks by more than a decade. In a lessons learned entry dated March 2, 1998, the Federal Transit Administration, FTA, recorded that RTD entered into a negotiated sole-source contract with Siemens in September 1997 for 14 light rail vehicles for the Southwest Corridor project at a price of roughly $28 million. The same entry records that RTD agreed to pay 80% of the price before the first vehicle was delivered in exchange for a lower price using local money and certificates of participation. Assessing the risk in those advance payment terms, the FTA wrote that RTD is simply adding on to a previous car order for more of the same vehicles it already has in revenue operations, and concluded there was little risk the builder would fail to deliver on schedule. By the time of the 2008 award, Siemens had supplied 95 light rail vehicles to RTD since the early 1990s. In October 2015, the agency awarded Siemens another $112 million for 29 more SD-160 cars, and RTD officials named the same rationale in an announcement republished by Mass Transit magazine. Operating a fleet of similar vehicles throughout our light rail system gives us a higher level of flexibility and consistency that also helps us save costs, said David Genova, then RTD's interim general manager and CEO. Every light rail vehicle RTD operates today is a Siemens product. Greater Denver Transit, a transit reference site, counts 201 cars in the fleet, 49 SD-100 units and 152 SD-160 units, built up from the 11 vehicles the system started with in 1994. Voters approved Fast Tracks in November 2004 on a $4.7 billion budget. In a draft report released September 29, 2025, RTD said it has expended more than $5.5 billion on the program and has completed approximately 75% of the Fast Tracks projects since 2004, including 25 miles of light rail track, 53 miles of commuter rail track, the Flatiron Flyer Bus Rapid Transit Service on US 36, and Denver Union Station in 2014. Finishing the rest would take another $1.6 billion in capital and operating cost. RTD said legislation passed earlier in 2025 required it to compile a report showing how the agency will finish the four remaining corridors by 2034, and it named Senate Bill 25-161, titled Transit Reform, as the act setting the terms. In its presentation to legislators, the agency cited that act together with Senate Bill 24-230 as the source of the 2034 deadline and the December 1st submission date. Presenting to the legislature's Transportation Legislation Review Committee on October 21, 2025, RTD put the remaining corridor costs in 2024 dollars at $650 million for Northwest Rail Peak Service, $396 million for North Metro, $344 million for the Southwest Extension, and $211 million for the Central Extension, plus $22.6 million each year to operate all four. The agency told legislators it faces an approximately $1.2 billion shortfall, not inclusive of additional costs. In a performance audit of RTD fiscal governance released in July 2024, the Colorado Office of the State Auditor recorded what the 2004 vote actually levied, an additional 0.4% sales and use tax on top of the existing 0.6% within RTD's service area, and noted that as of June 2024, the agency has not yet completed its 2004 plans for commuter rail lines, the largest of which is the 41-mile B line from Denver to Longmont, running through Westminster and Boulder. O'Toole recalled the promise voters heard in 2004, and they said, "We're not going to have any cost overruns," he said on the show. "We know what we're doing. We're going to do this right. We won't have any cost overruns." The new measure has not reached the ballot. The Colorado Sun reported on July 21, 2026, that the board of the Front Range Passenger Rail District would decide in late August whether to put a 1/3-cent sales tax before voters inside the district, and that the tax would raise $295 million a year. The service has been named the Colorado Connector, or COCO, and Amtrak would operate it for the district under the draft plan, running on existing lines held by BNSF and Union Pacific rather than on newly built dedicated track. The Kim Monson Newsroom has reported on the $3 million state agencies have spent advocating for the rail tax. Full build-out south to Colorado Springs and Pueblo carries a $2.7 billion price and would take 5 years from the vote, with annual operating cost between $85 million and $116 million. A smaller first phase would cost $332 million and open in 2029 with 3 round trips a day between Denver and Fort Collins by way of Boulder and Longmont. That phase would proceed without the new tax, paid for out of a state transportation innovation fund built from various fees and, as The Sun described it, RTD money set aside for Fast Tracks rail lines north of Denver that were never built. The state and RTD would split $30 million to $36 million a year to operate it. Sal Pays, the district's general manager, told The Sun the Front Range connector will be different because planners have crafted budget savings and have avoided over-promising service areas in the way Fast Tracks did. He also described a longer-term ambition for the system. "Ultimately, we have a plan of reaching New Mexico and Cheyenne, Wyoming," Pays said. Senate Bill 26-172, now enacted, redrew the district's boundaries and authorized the board to create sub-districts. The Sun reported that the redrawn district taxes and enfranchises only the communities where stations are planned. By the General Assembly's summary of the act, any action by a sub-district to establish or increase a tax or create a multiple fiscal year debt must be submitted to a vote of the registered electors of the subdistrict, and the district must certify, before any tax question reaches voters, that it has made every reasonable effort to secure federal, state, or special purpose authority funding. The newsroom examined the district's appointed boards and their taxing power as the bill advanced. O'Toole, who writes at The Anti-Planner, argued on the show that the firm's position to build a rail project have the clearest reason to pay for the campaign that authorizes it. "So these guys have pie in the sky building things that are going to do absolutely nothing for anybody except for, of course, the companies that are going to get to build it and spend a huge amount of money," he said. Asked whether those companies would be the ones financing a November campaign, O'Toole said the answer would surface on its own. "Well, we'll know pretty soon because they'll have to put it on the ballot formally," he said. "There's a deadline, I think it's later this month, when they have to formally put it on the ballot, get the ballot title and everything. And then they'll have to form a committee, and then people will have to start donating money, and we'll see who donates the money." If the rail board refers the measure in late August, any committee that forms to campaign for it will file its contributions with the Colorado Secretary of State under the same disclosure rules that produced the 2004 record. And now, Kim's perspective. In 2004, Denver voters were told Fast Tracks would cost $4.7 billion and would come in on budget. 22 years later, RTD has spent more than $5.5 billion, finished about three-quarters of it, and says it needs another $1.6 billion. Now a new district wants a sales tax for a train from Fort Collins to Pueblo, and its first phase would lean on money set aside for Fast Tracks lines north of Denver that never got built. When that campaign committee forms and the checks start arriving, read the donor list, because the companies paid to build these systems have always been willing to fund the campaigns that approve them. Study the 2004 record before you vote. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson Liberty and Economy Briefing.